You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
I'm glad he didn't walk it back.
What's the appetite of people?
Hold him accountable.
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Ryan and Jay here with you on the Wednesday edition of the round table. Let's welcome in our participants today. Christy Blatchard from the National Post, Trevor Mayo, political commentator, and Atricia Lewis, commercial litigator at McCarthy Tetro, bencher at the Law Society of Ontario. Great to have you all in today.
Howdy.
Great to be here.
Contain your enthusiasm.
I was going to say, this isn't a hostage taking. You came in and
I was waiting for Christy. Christy always comes in with some really witty, witty response for that. So I was taking her, I was following her
All
lead.
Right. You passed this time.
Certainly a ton of passion around this afternoon when we talked about it on the show. Health officials in London, Ontario, saying a high school-aged youth was on life support after smoking e-cigarettes. They've since recovered. Middlesex London Health Unit saying the youth was in intensive care with a severe pulmonary illness. The vaping-related illness first reported today, believed to be the first confirmed case in Canada. Health Minister Christine Elliott saying, look, we don't know what's going on here.
We don't know exactly what's happening here in Canada. We've been hearing about what's been going on in the U.S., and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have indicated that it may be some sort of off-the-street products that are causing particles of oil or other substances to get into people's lungs that cause these illness. But we don't know that in Ontario. We don't know what's causing this problem.
My very good friend, esteemed colleague Ryan Doyle today, Christy, calling for an outright ban on these products. Pull them off the shelves until we at least know what's going on. I think that's a bit overreaching. What do you think?
Well, maybe. I'm not sure. It's probably overreaching. But I'm glad that the health minister has ordered doctors and hospitals to report cases of possible vaping illness. This is how we learned about this one particular case. There may be others. I thought it was a good step to take because clearly, even if the people at the London Hospital, and they must have thought it was a possible vaping illness, didn't know, I guess, who to report it to, which I find a bit unsettling. Anyway, I don't think there's, I don't know, maybe put out a kind of an emergency statement so that you could, when you bought your vaping products, you would have this, it's like a tobacco warning label in the interim until we find out what's going on.
Yeah, I get it. I get warnings. I get concern. I get hospitals, Atricia, reporting these. But there's also a number of products that are legal that have gone through all of the regulatory factors that got them onto shelves in the first place. And I think it's just too much to yank them and just get in the way of business because they've paid for the right to be there.
I totally agree. And I also think we need to think about the other benefits. You know, if there are smokers who are no longer smoking because they've transitioned to vaping, maybe that's better for them. And I think it's too quick for us to go to a complete ban without considering the evidence and considering the effects, the beneficial effects that vaping has on some people as well.
Yeah, and we also knew, Trevor, that there was going to be these cases. And we're also looking statistically at so many cases pretty much being young people. So there's a lot that can be attributed to either the fact that they're young and don't know how to use the product properly that they probably bought illegally, or maybe they're black market products to begin with.
Listen, I'm leaning close to Ryan on this one.
Oh, there's a refreshing change on the show.
You know what? Lock it down. There's a public health issue here, right? And we've seen over the last few years, we've actually seen young people's consumption of these type of products actually go up. So they're actually not going down. So they may not be jumping onto cigarettes, but they're actually jumping on this at a staggering rate. And this isn't like 18-year-olds who are going out and are being subjected to like more responsible advertising. These are people being directly marketed to at a very young age in a crafty way that's known that they're being marketed at underage, right? Like this is not someone like going out and seeing a really cool ad in the back of a magazine. They're putting bubblegum flavor things in to younger students so that by the time they get into high school, they're doing it. If you go into high schools, When I was finishing up in high school, it was a while ago, but like there weren't that many people out the smoking pit. And you knew when they were out the smoking pit. You go out now, holy Hannah, you go out for a break, everybody out is vaping. Like I was the only one. I was like, should I go stand outside while everyone's out vaping? Like I was confused by it. So I to be perfectly honest, if there's a public health thing, I have no problem shutting it down for a little bit, figure out what the problem is, and then gradually start to reopen. Because this was the wild, wild west when it came in, and no one seemed to like be interested in investigating it or do anything about it until now we see that, oh, shoot, there might actually be a problem.
When you were out there with the kids, like, listen, get out of here, Jump Street.
Yeah, I'm not welcome in those crowds.
We know who you are.
I have gray hair. They're like, get out.
Let's talk about protest here in the province and across the country. Students in Canada are expected to participate in climate events beginning this Friday, including the global climate strike. We know one school board here in Toronto, the Toronto District School Board, is supporting students who plan to walk out of class as part of this global call to action. They're also encouraging students, Christy, to take part in all of this. Is that the right move?
Doesn't matter what I think, to be honest. The TDSB has long marched to its own special drummer. So
doesn't mean we can't rewrite the music.
No, of course not. But I think a school's job is to teach children, not to prepare them for social justice, not to, you know, encourage them to go to strikes, whether they're the teacher's own strikes, as was the case in the Mike Harris years, when kids were allowed to and encouraged often to go to those protests at Queen's Park, or this one. Stay in school, get your information outside if you're interested in climate change. I mean, there's enough climate change stuff in the curriculum, I'm sure. If you want more interested, do it on your own time.
Tricia, when I look at something like this, you know, it's not that I'm against a student wanting to protest. I did it myself when I was a kid. I walked out of class. I got a suspension for it. The idea of endorsing it, then, does it not open up a sort of Pandora's box as to what issues kids can protest and which ones they can't?
So I'm not concerned about the Pandora's box argument, frankly. I think this is obviously a very laudable objective. Climate change, it's obviously a problem. And so I think it's a great thing that the school board is supporting students who want to be civically engaged. And I also think we need to think about, what does supporting mean? Like, I thought the TDSB was simply saying, we're not going to call off schools, but if you want to go protest and your parents give you permission to, go ahead. And to me, that's also a bit different than actually closing schools, which I know some school boards in Quebec are doing, for instance.
Yeah, I mean, that was the message, Trevor, we heard from the school board today. They said basically teachers are expected to show up, even if there aren't any students in the class. You're expected to be there. So mm-hmm. It's not a free day for the staff, but it could be for people who want to just join onto the protest.
Yeah, and this is the thing. Everyone always loses their mind saying that, I mean, young people are so apathetic. Young people are not dialed in. They don't care about things. They're not involved. They don't vote. And then when young people actually step up and say they want to actually do something that's meaningful, they want to talk about issues that are important to them, people are like, not the time, shouldn't be doing this, this is not the way to do it. You should, frankly, to be perfectly honest, good for them. They don't have a vote. They're too young to have a vote. They've been pushing on this issue globally, young people, more than a lot of other demographics for a long time, because they're actually inheriting the problem that's happening right now. And politicians and other people ignore them on this. So what are some of the levers that they can actually pull to actually get attention? Join in with an internationally recognized day and campaign with the United Nations and this hashtag Fridays for Future, which is now starting to pick up a lot of steam. This is an awesome opportunity for young people to actually exercise their voice when they don't have a vote.
But what about another thing that they're passionate about? What if there's a group of students that are super pro-life and there's a rally that day? Should they be able to leave class for that?
So, like, again, that's not something I would subscribe to. But listen, I celebrate if people want to get involved in stuff. Like, that is obviously, there's obviously could be so many different issues that someone can come. This is an international UN event. So it's happening around. Listen, I got excused from class all the time for pep rallies. And guess what we did? We checked the box saying we're going to the pep rally, and we all left school.
Stop it.
No one showed up at the football game.
Not at a pep rally.
And so, you know what I mean? Like, now you actually have students stepping out and actually talking about things that are meaningful to them, talking about policy that's meaningful to them, getting civically engaged, heaven forbid, and now people are saying, oh, no. So I actually, well played on the school board for actually allowing it not coming down on them.
Interesting story this afternoon about how one young immigrant is reclaiming her identity by no longer anglicizing her name. She's 22. And says her first name doesn't sound like the way it's spelled, so introducing herself as Tanvi rather than Thunvi, as it's supposed to be pronounced, meant she didn't have to constantly teach or negotiate with people about her name. She says allowing people to anglicize her name made it easier for her to fit in when she was growing up in British Columbia. She would also ask her grandma to pack her more westernized school lunches instead of Indian food so the other kids wouldn't make fun of her. And when she went to Starbucks on the way to weddings with her families in traditional garb, she'd refuse to get out of the car wearing Indian clothes. Christy, I was amazed today when we talked about this on the show, how many different people, when they were younger, went through this exact same experience. And, you know, consistently from Ryan, especially, the argument this afternoon is that nobody should have to do this. We should be able to encourage each other's cultures. But I think the reality is, for a kid, you just want to fit in no matter where you are or what your culture is.
Yeah, I remember talking to Rosie DiMano, my great friend at the Star, about this once, and she wrote a fantastic story in One Canada Day about her experiences as the child of Italian immigrants. And she was mortified by the lunches her mother would make her. All she wanted was to try that weird white bread with the egg salad in it, you know? I mean, she wanted to fit in. It was hard. It's hard for all immigrants. And I think this is a great thing that this young woman is doing. She's old enough now. She can have the patience. I'm sure it takes a lot to explain the pronunciation of her name. And I don't blame her. I don't blame her for being embarrassed as a kid. As a teenager and, even a 10-year-old sometimes, you're embarrassed that your parents exist, let alone the culture they bring with them. So it's probably a very common experience.
Are you at all surprised, Patricia, that this is a 22-year-old girl telling this story, not a 42-year-old girl or a 52-year-old girl, that this type of thing is still going on?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm seeing a lot of the reclaiming of the name happening, especially in law. So I'm a bencher. So there's a call to the bar that I attend for all the new lawyers at their ceremony. And part of that ceremony requires you to read out their names. And so very recently, there's been a huge push by new calls to push benchers to actually say their name properly. And that's been really important to them. And I think it's their moment. It's when they get called. And so I think I've definitely seen a movement among younger people to reclaim their name. And it's very important. I think even there's a story that really reached out to me, a criminal lawyer, Sri Lankan criminal lawyer named Jenini. She wrote about how judges in court don't call her by her name. They always refer to counsel as Mr. X, Mr. or Ms. Y. But her name was so hard to pronounce that they would call her just counsel. And it was really upsetting to her. And so I definitely think that now there's a greater kind of push and ownership over the name. And I think that's really important.
See, that's lazy. That sounds lazy to me. People that just refuse to pronounce somebody's name because it's complicated. I'm sorry. Do your job. I mean, get the names right.
We had a teacher that called into the show today, Trevor, that said, you know, I hear from so many of my new students who will say to me, they know my name on the registry, and they'll say, you know, miss, it's okay, just call me by this, and they'll shorten the name.
Yeah.
And she says, my MO with these kids is to say, because it's true, you have such a beautiful name, I want to say it properly, I want to say it fully every single morning. And she said, you could see the kids' shoulders like raise just a little bit
nice
when they're being
that?
Encouraged, right?
That's super nice. And I, you know what, it's, and I don't even just kids, it's professionals as well. Like I've hired people, and that you look at the resume, and it has their real name, and then in brackets, it has their Canadian name or their Anglo name. And that's super sad because you want to go in and to be perfectly honest, I don't necessarily know how to pronounce it. And you can, and when you ask, say like, how do you pronounce your name? It's like, oh, just go with Dave. And you're like, oh, okay, like if that's what you want. But you know what I mean? I would love for us to have a greater conversation at areas with people being more open to learning, practicing, and understanding, because then it just becomes more normalized in terms of actually hearing it. And I think we all need to do a better job. It's not just about people reclaiming. It's about a lot of us actually stepping up to the plate and be more open and actually putting a heck of a lot more effort into it.
Let's talk very quickly a business story today. Tim Hortons scaling back its Beyond Meat offerings. Ontario and BC will still have the Beyond Meat offerings, but it didn't work out, Christy, in other parts of the country. Is this just a fad? Once you try it, you've tried it a couple times, maybe you're out? Or is this something that it's only maybe unique to areas like Ontario and BC, the rest of the country not on board?
I can see that. I think it might boil down to a big city kind of rural thing, as so many issues in this country do. You're certainly not going to get a ton of Albertans, where beef is a, you know, like a God's thing, going for Beyond Meat. I get it. So good for them. They're tailoring it to where it sells, and could bring it back in other places later.
Atricia,
when the vegans have taken over.
Atricia, were you caught up in the movement?
I was. So me and my fiance are both big fans of the Beyond Meat burger, and he's an actual carnivore. So I was impressed that he got on board too. So I think it's actually sad, because I think it's great to be able to get some good vegetarian, vegan options wherever you go. And so I'm disappointed that Tim Hortons is scaling it back.
Yeah, again, Ontario, BC, you'll still have the option, but everywhere else seems to say, well, no. But A&W is always there, right? Trisha Lewis, Trevor Mayo, Christy Blatcher, thank you all.
Thank you.